What time is it? Time for the weekly dip. I want fries on my pizza, the rabbit in a tortilla, barbecue from Korea. Damn, that's a good idea. Yup, my yum, yup, yup.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. I'm Stephanie March.
I'm Stephanie Hansen.
We are live out at Certix in Northeast Minneapolis. Let's give it a big shout out for...
Oh, yeah.
Let's love that
Santa
up.
Stop.
Santa Stop, which means, of course, you can come out and drop off some toys. We have a couple more toys in the old Santa Box bin, which is lovely. And then you can get some candy. You can hang out with us. We've got a great crowd here.
We do.
We do.
And we did have a live question.
Yeah, we did.
About baking questions. So go ahead and ask your question.
I have a recipe for chocolate frosted cookies.
Okay.
That's sentimental to everybody in the family because my grandmother used to make them.
Yeah.
And they don't come out exactly how she used to make them. And she had it, I mean, I'm old, so these cookies these cookies were like she was baking them in the 1950s.
Oh.
And she would say she had to sift the flour three times and... You know, and it's chocolate squares or they're not as dark.
So what's the question?
What do I have to still do all that sifting?
Yes.
Okay. I usually do. I usually do.
Yeah, there's nothing.
So wait, so your question, I mean, like, what, how are they not? Okay, so that's your chocolate choice, probably. Okay, so if there's cake, if it's too cakey, yeah, there's probably a different gluten measured to the flour that she had versus what you have.
So how can I correct that? Not quite as
chocolate. Honestly, if you pull back on some of the flour, in my mind, that makes them less cakey. That might give them a little bit less. I don't know what your shortening. What's your fat in there? Is it butter or
butter.
Is it okay?
Butter and sugar.
I would.
You could try a gluten-free flour.
That's going to make it, that would, I think you just.
It's going to have a really different texture, but if you're trying to recreate something, you could try.
I think you should just cut back a little bit on the flour.
Is it better to use cocoa powder, the unsweetened, or the squares?
I think if you're trying to recreate something from the 50s, the squares are how it's going to go. I mean, I think that would be better because it's also going to be a denser. You know, a more cocoa powder, you know, has been so it kind of gets.
I'm actually going to say the reverse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think the they used the powder more.
I think they used the squares, like the actual. Well, who knows?
Because you had the German. Remember the German chocolate baking squares? All of our moms used those.
Yeah.
But the Hershey's cocoa formula that has also changed over the years. So that could be part of it, too. But yeah,
that's
you
what I'm saying.
No,
I know. You
yeah.
just want to get it
you
how you
want
it.
A taste memory
yeah.
of how you remember exactly.
Yeah.
yeah. You do need to sift.
I don't care about sifting. I never have sifted in my whole life. And that's what that is. Yeah, this is like, that's going to be really refined. And so I was going to say, but I think if you pull back on some of the flour, if you just cut a little bit of the flour, it's going to be less cakey. And maybe I would say this is like if you add more butter, too.
Yeah, let us know how that goes.
Yeah.
There was the last year, I think I made those Maker's Mark no flour brownies,
oh.
the gluten-free brownies.
Yeah.
Oh, they are like the chocolatiest, deliciousest morsels.
Yeah.
That is a really good recipe.
Yeah, a higher cocoa content, too. If you want to use chips instead, if you're melting them, I'm just saying that mm-hmm. now we can have these 70%. Yeah, that's. Yeah, they have some of those, too. Those are great. Okay.
All right.
Okay, time for
so
Talk
good.
To
We've,
and I'll
yes.
Give
me
a
1-2-1-2.
And now, the Weekly Dish presents...
Top 2.
The top two...
Pick your best two.
In our two.
All right, give me two. With him.
All right, so it's the time of the show, you guys, where we talk about a couple things we've been thinking about. It's on our mind. What do you got? What's your first one?
You know, we talked about these last year, but they've kind of updated. It's Baking It Real.
Yeah.
And these are baking kits that you get all of the ingredients to make a cookie. And what they've done that's really cute that I like is they've got a letter in there from the elf on the shelf or from Santa. So it's something I think that would be really great if you're someone that has a little in your life and you want to do something, an activity with them, because they will personalize the letter to the kid. So it is Baking It Real, the Santa or Santa Elf edition. I think they're cute. It's $52.50. They come in a box. They're sweet.
How many cookies do you get out of that?
Let's see. Two dozen, I think.
Okay.
Actually, no, there's 4 dozen.
Oh, that's good. That's, yeah. $50 needs to be more than a dozen cookies. You know,
yes.
What I mean?
No, it's 4 dozen that you make. They have all the stuff that you need
right.
in there, though.
Right. No, super cute. I like that stuff. All right. The first one I'm going to give you is this coffee liqueur that I tried up at Brother Justice Distillery.
Yum.
And it's a coffee whiskey liqueur, which of course is hello. Thank you for that. And that is, it's a partnership with the Get Down Coffee Company, Houston White, and his coffee company up in North Minneapolis. And it's Brother Justice, and you can get it only at the distillery right now. It's a limited edition. It is delicious, like to a point where, this is bugging me.
I love coffee liqueur.
It is like, you guys, it is a thing that some coffee liqueurs get kind of cloying and sweet, you know, and you kind of feel like it's almost like too sugary for me. And this stuff is so rich and so velvety and so delicious, and it goes great. And if you're thinking like espresso martinis, this is the one you want to get. If you're thinking about an Irish coffee, they're doing what they're calling Camden Town Coffee up there.
Love.
So good. And just even if you want some, like, over some ice cream, like, that's what I would set out for, like, if you have a pint of ice cream, just put a scoop and a little bottle of this coffee liqueur out.
Do you know, this is also, you buy, this is just to make that one step more hot or attractive. You do candy canes crushed up or Heath bars crushed up.
Sure.
Or, like, a speculoos cookie crushed up.
Yeah.
And you do the chocolate liqueur. Or coffee liqueur.
Coffee liqueur, yeah.
You can even use coffee ice cream. That's my that's my mother-in-law's when you don't have dessert.
Right. Well, and that's like, I think that I don't make desserts usually. Like, I'm not going to bake you a cake or a pie for after a dinner I just cooked you. But I always have a scoopable something. And we used to do these things called affogatos.
Oh, yeah.
Which is,
yes.
Just remember those?
Oh, I love those.
Where you just take, like, you have like a little dish of vanilla ice cream and you take a hot espresso and you pour it over. But this is like a great kind of, like, if you don't have like a hot espresso machine, or it's like having that kind of an idea, doing the coffee liqueur is so good.
Love. So right. Delicious. Okay, my second one. I saw this last week when I was at Certix. It is the Pennsylvania Dutch Old Style Eggnog. What's amazing about this is it's $9.99 for this spiked bottle of eggnog, but it's made with real cream.
Oh, is it?
So you can't figure out, like, how can this
is
whole
it
bottle
no, it's
of
Pennsylvania
booze?
Dutch?
Yeah, how can this
is it?
Whole? It's tasty,
get one over
Stephanie.
To me. Get one over here.
It's really tasty.
Doesn't this look like a Phillips bottle?
It does look like a Phillips bottle. I'll put a picture on our Facebook page our Instagram.
Made with real dairy cream, rum, brandy,
yeah,
and blended
whiskey.
Yeah, so
you serve
whiskey.
It chilled. It's kind of like horchata or rum chata, but it's whiskey and it's eggnog.
And brandy and rum. I don't know if you've heard that part.
And it's delicious. And it's $9.99.
Yeah.
So I just think it's super festive, super fun. If you're going to a hostess gift, you know, $10, that's about what a hostess gift costs. Get them something that they're new and unusual.
Okay. And you tasted it?
Stephanie, here we go.
Are you cracking it now? She's pulling it? She's taking a pull, everybody. We have not paid for this. We're going to get kicked out any second now by this.
Fantastic. I told you.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's real good for $10.
$10. That's it. That could sit in your car. I mean, like, I don't know. Nobody said that. All right, my second one has to be, there's a new fish market that we haven't talked about.
Oh, is it in St. Louis Park?
It is. It's called.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's called Brookie's Fish Market, you guys. It just opened in the Texatonka, and I haven't gotten up there, but I'm heading up there today because I can walk there, which is like, I feel like they built this all here because I moved into the neighborhood.
Thank God.
Thank God. But it's Chris Nelson, who happens to be a former Coastal Seafoods guy, so he's still getting all his fish from the same place Coastal Seafoods does. So you got to know about the quality is really right on. Cute little neighborhood spot. And it's just, he's got, you know, he's got all sorts of fresh fish. Like, he's got tilapia, but he's got salmon, he's got Arctic char, there's oysters, there's lobsters, there's all sorts of good
stuff.
I'm
real excited about this.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. And I'll put a blog up. It's called Brookies. I'll put a blog up this week on Monday about it.
Brookies Fish Market.
Yeah, it's so exciting. It's right next to Revival in the Texatonka little strip mall.
By Angel Food Bakery, right?
Yep.
So cute.
Now we have a Judith McGran as well. My God. I mean, whatever.
What is happening? We're getting things in St. Louis Park. Gold Valley.
You don't live in St. Louis Park.
I feel like I can co-opt it, can't I?
You keep doing that. It's like me saying I would live in, like, because you lived in St. Paul and I lived in, like, Roseville, that was the same neighborhood.
But I felt like you could co-opt Minnetonka when you lived in Orono.
I never wanted to. No.
Okay.
No.
I just adopt people.
I know you do.
I have You're generous feelings. That way. I just want everybody to have good local places to shop.
No, this is true. We all do. All right, we're going to take a quick break, you guys. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about some private dining spaces you might want to book for your holiday parties. We'll be right back. This is The Weekly Dish on MyTalk 107.1. We're live at Certix. Come out and visit us. We're brought to you by Maker's Mark. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish on MyTalk 107.1. I'm Stephanie March.
I'm Stephanie Hansen.
We are live at Certix in Northeast Minneapolis. We are happy to be here. It's a Santa stop again, so come on down. Is it wonky? Come on down and donate to the Santa drop. We have donate some toys and hang out with us. It's a lot of fun. We still got 45 minutes.
We are having a good time. I know, and our bucket's full.
I know.
People are so generous. It makes you feel good at holiday time.
It really does. It really does. I want to talk a little bit about, I got a call from a panicked person saying that she was supposed to host something at her house, and she had a slight plumbing issue. And she was like, I can't have 25 people at my house anymore. So what do I do? And I was like, well, you got to call some people. You got to call some private rooms. You got to see if there's a... a restaurant that's got an open table, those kind of things. And so it got me thinking, like, maybe you just do that. Maybe you just don't worry about it at your house this year. Maybe you...
Great idea.
You phone it in and... You call in...
Yeah.
A professional space.
Help.
Phone it in, because that's not phoning it in. So I was looking up some places for people about where you want to go book maybe your holiday party, your staff party.
Yep.
There's still lots of spaces available, so don't think that you're way too late if you want to gather some people, right?
Absolutely.
So one of the ones I wanted to talk about is a favorite of a lot of people, and it looks great. It's decked out for the holidays. It's Britt's Pub.
Oh, excellent.
And you don't think about that often because you're thinking like, oh, you think of them in the summertime for the lawn bowling.
Yes, and fish and chips.
Yep. And so it's sort of like that whole thing of like, I don't know, you feel like maybe you're not thinking of like holiday, but when you go in there on the holiday, there's like beautiful greenery and lights and everything else. More importantly, they have side rooms. They have the fireplace room. They have plenty of little small spaces that have great ambiance, that have their own separate bars, fireplaces. It's all decked out. It's wonderful.
I feel the same way about the Nicollet Island Inn for the exact same reason.
Oh, good call.
Super beautiful decor, free parking, easy to get in and out, especially with older people. Yep. The acoustics in there are wonderful, so you can hear your elders talking and you can have an actual conversation.
Yeah.
And a lot of great little rooms.
And it's just this historic, beautiful place that screams
pretty.
Edwardian Christmas.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
And then, it's gorgeous.
And that bar. I mean, like, if you can get that little, like, go have a whiskey in that bar. I mean, that's an escape for sure. I wanted to shout out a place that you may not have heard of. It's called Steady Pour.
Is this a distillery?
No. This is a private space. This is a company that does, they make non-alcoholic beverages.
Uh-huh.
They sell them by the growler, but they have this great space. It's where V9 had popped up last.
Sure.
And so they have a full kitchen in the back, and then they've got this amazing room.
Neat.
Where it just feels like if you want a space that's just yours, you know, because sometimes when you get into restaurants and you have... You know, people who are like, you have like office workers who get out of control, or else you feel like you lose people to the other fun that's happening, but you want a very concentrated space. Maybe you want to do like a program, like a gift giving, you want to do speeches or whatever. You guys, Steady Pour is one of those awesome spaces, and I think they can fit like 100 people, maybe. I'm not 100% sure. I'll put the link up. But you can have it be whatever you want it to be, and it's totally affordable, and there's a full kitchen. That's and a bar that you can kind of manage however you want.
You know what else is a really cute spot that people forget about is Astor Cafe.
Yeah.
They have a lot of separate little rooms too, because they do a lot of weddings and meetings and also the Happy Gnome upstairs.
Oh, the Happy Gnome upstairs. I totally forgot.
You can have like a 100-person event there real easily. It's real pretty. It's just, it's another kind of hidden gem.
Did you even know that in at Meritage in St. Paul, which is, of course, is decked out gorgeously for the holidays, they have a whole back room that they just really kind of launched around the COVID times?
I don't.
I know. It's called the Medoc Room, and it seats about between 8 and 25 people, and it's a totally separate from the restaurant. Again, it's your own private space, and it's warm and cozy, and think about having, like, an entire... like oyster-fueled cocktail party there.
Yum.
Hello.
I'm going to dinner there next week, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
They might be on the cover of my magazine that's coming
out. Oh, excellent.
I know. It's going to be great. Love it. And another one that I was thinking about was, I mean, a lot of times, this one is what I think I love about the fact that it's still a distillery, but the upstairs at O'Shaughnessy, the potato room.
Oh, yes.
You guys, the potato room at O'Shaughnessy Distilling is spectacular.
They have really cool spaces there.
Yeah. I really do love that. And, of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't call out Malcolm Yards.
Oh, yeah.
Molly at Malcolm Yards.
Yeah, they have a lot of spaces there that can be customized for the size of your group.
Yeah.
Yes. And also, if you want something kind of different but festive, like El Burrito Mercado has an extra, like, side room where you can go to have, like, a family taco bar, or you can get a lot of people if you've got, like, an office party.
Very nice.
And you want a bigger crew.
Very nice. Yeah, very nice. I'd also point out that, like, Hewing Hotel, like, maybe you don't necessarily have an entire group and you don't necessarily want to book an entire room. What I love about what the Hewing does is they reserve those spaces, like, right on the main lobby area. You can, like, gather in front of the fireplace. You can be tucked in the corner and put together a little spread of whatever you want. And or they'll, like, hold a bunch of tables for you. And I think that's kind of fun, too. So you don't have to worry too much about, like, paying a room charge or things
right.
like that.
There is another little sweet room at, they run the Mill Kitchen, Mill Valley Kitchen on Excelsior or 100 or,
yeah.
They have a really nice room
they?
There too that people, I sat in it for a book club and there were like 15 of us and it was excellent.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. And the door closed. So we have a lady that doesn't like to do the book club at her house and she finds cute spaces and. Also, Lakes and Legends.
Yes,
it's a big spot, so you're there with lots of other people. But they do a nice job of kind of carving it out. And then it's a brewery, and I'll think of it. Sorry,
yeah,
it's on top of my head.
Oh, it's good. Here's one that actually I did this on the Fox 9 the other day. This is a really cool idea. This is Brews and Bulbs, and this is where they take that the brewery tours. You get a bus. And you go to three different breweries, and then they cart you around the city of St. Paul looking at lights. You can rent the whole bus. It's a 14-person bus. It's a cute little thing. You get to drink while you're on the bus because you're not driving. And you can rent it for $500. Like, $550 for 14 people is like $40 a person.
I love that.
And that's like a party. Think about that. Instead of having to be in one spot, you can make it a roving party.
Another place that you can kind of cordon off is Royal Craft Foundry.
Oh, the Royal Foundry.
Thank you.
Yep.
I went to a Sip and Bloom event there, which also I'd like to recommend those. You can make porch pots and wreaths, and it's this just sweetest, funniest, cutest man, and he has all the stuff. So you get a drink, and you make your pot with your friends. It's like $45 to $50 generally.
Yeah.
And
but they have separate little areas you can do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and you go, he does them at distilleries and breweries, and he's just great. Number 12 Cider, he's got a bunch of events coming up.
I love it. I'm going to throw one more large table at Julia downtown. They have a large table in what used to be a bank vault.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, I'm going to try to get a list up of all of this
Please.
For everybody because
they sound
it feels
great.
Like we should have one, a list of those. We're going to take a quick break, you guys, and we're going to come right back. We're live at Certix. This is the Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. All right, everybody, welcome back to Weekly Dish. Thanks for joining us today on this first, it's the first weekend of December, which is like, I don't know if everyone's out shopping or if you're already crying about the game. We already, is it a 2-0? Are we still at 2-0?
Oh, no.
I know.
Kurt's going to get our tree today, and I begged him to get one for my bedroom.
Oh, you want two trees?
I was thinking, why not?
Okay.
Just one with lights that I can lay in bed and look at it.
All right.
I know he won't, but I might do it anyway.
Well, we're out at Certix, and we are live, and we're being joined by Sir Peter Plain, who is, of course, the wine. I don't know. What's your title now?
Well, Wine department manager and buyer.
Okay.
Simple task.
I think we should change it to wine guru or something.
You know, that's really the title. I just try to downplay it.
You just
try
to downplay a little bit?
Try not to. What's your last name? Plain?
Plain.
Yeah.
Like Peter Plain sounds like Peter Parker, or like you're going to like rip off your coat and be Superman underneath.
Yeah.
Super wine guy. I love it.
Yeah. Super wino?
Can we
do that? Is that
absolutely.
I feel like that's appropriate.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I always tell everyone I drink for a living.
The Wizard of Wine?
Sure.
I mean, you drink for a living. I eat and drink for a living. We all talk about food for a living.
I talk
we
for
pretty
a living.
Great. I know. All right. So tell us a little. Now, you're just recently joining Certix this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, back in April.
Mid-April. Right. So tell us a little bit about who you are in the Twin Cities scene.
Well, that's...
That's a long story.
It is, but I don't like, you know, it's... I would say I started about 10, 12 years ago, just kind of being in restaurants and focusing on wine.
Yep.
And both my parents were teachers, so it kind of just organically became helping. I would go through a program, and then people helped me go through it.
Yeah.
And then I just turn around and help the people coming up behind me and helping them.
Yep.
And now it's kind of become a thing. And my former students have started Twin City Psalms, which is a big organization has over 100 people on their mailing list. And we started as a group of 5 of us.
Yeah, you guys were all out tasting and like hanging out and just drinking wine together and like trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it came down to that. And, you know, and along the way, we're studying for credential exams or just for just being better professionals and learning more and just perpetually just being curious. And now... Yeah, they're doing all sorts of great things. They're all over the place. I mean, you get Amy Waller and Paul Hennessy and, you know, everybody.
It's a cool bunch.
It is. It's a really great bunch.
It is.
I couldn't be happier that they're turning around now and teaching their people.
Yeah, no, you guys really have created a new level of wine experience for the drinkers in town because of the education that you're sharing amongst each other and then pushing each other to get to a new level. And then now you guys are all in places of prominence and power that sort of bring more wine and better wine into our lives.
Yeah, and we're all talking to each other to make sure that, you know, if I'm here, obviously here at Certix, and this is a great place for people to come and get wine, but you've got Paul at Mara, and you've got people across all the cities that we can all talk to each other and start going, what do we want to bring in? What do we want to share with people?
Right.
Or what we feel is underappreciated, and kind of like push it a little bit and make people discover it.
So what do you think as far as like the characteristic of like the wine personality of the Twin Cities? Can you like kind of give us an idea of how we are compared to everybody else?
Nationally?
Yeah.
I would say if I had to pick a celebrity to compare us to, for some reason, Aaron Paul just jumped into my head. We can get dirty with the best of them.
Yeah.
But then when it comes right down to it, the talent level is very, very high. We're versatile. There's a huge diversity in what we can do. And but we're just at the beginning.
Yeah.
He's got a long career ahead of him.
Yeah.
We're just getting off the ground.
This is great. I think that's true. Okay. So talk to me about coming to Certix and having all of this wine be sort of like... I mean, like, this is a storage shop. This is not a small liquor store in a corner.
It was pretty exciting when I first started talking about the possibility of this happening, and I was like, this is a legendary store.
This is legendary. I mean,
one of the first stores after Prohibition.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's certainly a lot of responsibility there, and it's a privilege to be, you know, part of it, and, you know, being this generation, getting ready for the next generation.
Right.
And it's a complex thing. I think we've all talked about this. That we've got people who have been shopping here for 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And we've got some folks who moved in across the street last week.
Right.
So it's trying to balance that seesaw of trying to keep everybody happy, which is inevitably impossible.
Always.
But it's just, you know, trying to move us forward to the next, keep us relevant and keep us fresh. And I want to bring us back to the days of where if you can't find something, go check Certix because they probably have something close to it, if not that thing.
Yeah.
That's my goal, is to bring the store back to that, whatever the legendary status it had, and I think we're on the right path.
What is exciting right now in wine for you?
I think the curiosity that a lot of people have right now. Certainly the beer industry has helped us out on that. That you walk into a tap room and you say, what are you pouring? Oh, sure, I'll try that.
Yeah.
And there's certainly a lot of excitement about what's new, what's the thing, what did I have at a party that a friend brought, what did I see on Instagram? I mean, that's a huge part of it. You know, whether it's TikTok or Instagram or any of the socials, you know, inevitably if there's a trend kicks off, we're going to hear about it. It's like, oh, do you have that? I'm like, oh, that must be on TikTok now.
That must be on TikTok, yeah.
Yeah. So there's this constant evolution now, particularly in this neighborhood because, you know, Northeast has been so revitalized by some of the developments and some of the new buildings. and it's just gotten younger and more exploratory.
It's so interesting to sit in here. I was here last weekend, and you have like your, we'll call them seasoned wine buyers who are coming to load up for the holidays. Mm-hmm. Then you had like a couple of guys that were going to be watching a game that came in and grabbed a six pack. Mm-hmm. Then you had this other group that was at the ready to drink, and they were talking about all the local Minnesota made cocktails. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, this one's really good. Have you had this one? It was just, it was like, wow. And then you had a, you have the huge sake selection here.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of people were coming in for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a labor of love for Melissa for years.
For years. So.
And I think she's finally arrived. She's arrived, of course, a long time ago. Right. But it feels like people know that they can come to Serdix for sake.
And it's one of the only places where you find sake at stored cold as it should be.
Stored cold.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know. This is true. So what is it that is, what is like your biggest challenge as far as like trying to like find the wines or like, I mean, what is your biggest challenge as a wine buyer?
Well, it's an ever-evolving puzzle, which is why I love it. It's really fun.
Yeah.
But the last decade or so around the world has been rather challenging weather-wise. And
true.
So, you know, there was a thing, Sancerre took off, and then, but Sancerre had like 3-4 harvests of horrible. So there's like half as much as there used to be or less. So there's that. But then it's also just emerging wine regions and getting people to explore regions that they kind of wrote off a while ago.
Yeah.
So it's like Australia got a, you know, they think, oh, it's yellowtail, it's whatever. I'm like, and there's nothing wrong with yellowtail for you know, it's
an inexpensive table wine.
Yeah.
It's a solid wine for the price.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of really cool things happening there right now, and it's just kind of like, no, look at Australia again, because there's some really great things happening. That's just one example. The Southern Hemisphere itself is exploding with really cool stuff.
I still think you can get like such great Spanish wines that are inexpensive, Portuguese wines.
And there's a revolution there with some of the new generation, the younger winemakers there doing some really fun stuff.
And the heritage grapes, too, that are grapes you've never even heard of. Like, they're not even grapes you know how to pronounce.
Yeah, and I'll bring one in, and I'll talk with, like, Noel or something, and they're like, well, we've never had that in the store. I'm like, well, cool, we have one now.
Now we do.
Yeah. So it's, and I always talk about building a program like having a crayon box.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you either have the box of 8, which you can't do a whole lot with, but it works. Well, my goal is the 136 with the pencil with the sharpener in the back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like have the most diverse options. So it's like I like blue. I'm like, well, what kind of blue? I'm like,
cerulean.
Right. Or cornflower or royal or whatever.
Yeah.
So you just want to build that diverse. So if someone says, I want to try something new, you're like, great, I don't have to take you from black to orange.
Right.
It can be from black to gray. This gray or something or something, whatever.
Well, and I think people are getting a lot more accustomed to talking with the shopkeepers, talking with their bartenders. Mm-hmm. That whole like being embarrassed to ask questions. I feel like this generation could care less. They are not embarrassed.
Sure. They're seekers.
Seekers. They want the information. They want the stories.
I mean, I've always said that the stupid the worst question to ask is the one you don't ask.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So as we're heading into the holidays, people want to know, like, bottles of wine. Like, can you give us 2 wines that are your favorites for the holiday season?
We have, actually, there is a new Minnesota sparkling winery that we just started carrying a little while ago, and they just started distributing through Libation Project, one of the local distributors, and they are making some outstanding sparkling wine.
Who is it?
It's Moose. Mousse.
Yes.
And of course, there's moose antlers on it.
Yeah, I know.
So, but they do some dry whites. They have a sweet red that is actually not that sweet. It's just like, kind of like this, like, tasty sweet. It's like,
nice.
But it's really good as like an aperitif, like have before dinner, have at a cocktail party.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of, and it's lower in alcohol, so you don't have to get, you know, you don't get party started too early.
Right, right.
And so they're really fun. And we put them on one of our features pairs really well with sweet, like cookies and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're
out of Jordan, Jordan, Minnesota.
Yeah,
right.
Doing great stuff.
Good.
And then, actually, Italian whites, I think, are going to make a comeback because Italy is so much more than Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
So we're really diversifying, like getting some Erbaluce, some Trebbiano d'Abruzzo. There's some new producers being brought in by the distributors that are really tasty and more than, you know, there's much more to Italy white than Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of your Austrian wine section here, too. Mm.
Oh, it's been so solid for forever.
Forever.
Yeah. You have a Riesling, that Goebbelsberger, that I still recommend. That's on sale, actually. I think it's $15.99, I saw.
Somebody pinged us about it.
I turned my mother-in-law onto that because it's just a really solid, easy white.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly dry. It pairs well with all the food. It's a little lighter in alcohol.
That doesn't need, you know, a lot of work. It's been solid for so long. So we're just little tweaks and little diversification in there and you know, just showing what's... The goal is to show around the world what's happening in each of the regions and like what's keep so it's current, so it's like the traditional, and then who's new in California, who's new in Austria, who's things like that. And
you have a high-end cooler, I'm going to call it,
yes,
that you just installed that has higher-end wines mm-hmm. priced by the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I love that idea because sometimes you want to buy your boss a nice bottle of wine
yep.
or you want to have a special
yourself.
Event wine.
Yeah. Yeah. Just,
I
don't
think
you
deserve
it
yourself.
Yeah.
And they're all chilled and ready to go. And mm-hmm. they're like right there. And you just ask a consultant to help mm-hmm. you because they're locked because they're higher.
And it's kind of a tip of an iceberg thing because the drawers pull out and there's more wine.
There's
in there,
more wine so. Behind
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant.
Okay. We're going to have to wrap it up. We're talking with Peter Plain, who is the chief wine guy, guru guy at Certix. I want one more thing from you, though. I want one wine. One restaurant that you want to send someone to for a great wine list. Just one.
Well, I already listed off a couple. So obviously, you know, go see Paula at Mara.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on her name. It's all horrible. Hyacinth has got some great stuff.
Hyacinth, yeah.
And also at, I'm doing the thing that Steph just did. I can't think of it. It's right in the tip of my tongue. We'll say.
You know, sorry.
Hyacinth.
Sarah Posgay is at, over. Oh my God, I'm blanking again.
Oh yeah,
we just had the Beaujolais event there a couple weeks ago with Thomas Liquors. Anyway, sorry,
we'll figure it out.
There's a lot of good out there.
There's a lot of good wine lists out there. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thanks for having us.
We are going to be right back.
Thanks, Peter Plain, wine wizard.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Weekly Dish. Thanks for joining us today. It's been a really fun day out here live at Certix. We have a very full Santa drop.
We do.
Someone
came
great.
And brought me a cute bunt pan.
Uh-huh. And,
it's been
yeah.
real fun.
And yeah, and it's all benefiting the Ronald McDonald House, which is just such
and
a...
And Jordan came from the Ronald McDonald yes. House, and she said she had just left the house this morning. And there's a grandma there with
kids.
Two kids running around and a lady that had to run off to the hospital.
Yep.
That's what happens at Ronald McDonald
that
House.
Is, it is.
Families there that are taking care of sick kids, and any joy we can bring them during this holiday season is pretty amazing.
For sure. Peter wanted us to let us know that the two restaurants he wanted to call out, one was Bungalow Club, which is, of course, you know, over in Longfellow, or Seward, sorry, Seward neighborhood. So good. Andrew Kraft, wonderful, great wine list. The second one was Muriel.
Yes.
In St. Paul, which is just lovely. And I will be there on Sunday. I don't know if there's any tickets left on Sunday, December 11th or the 18th, but I'll be doing that reading at 7:30 p.m.
What are you doing?
I'm reading the Dickens Christmas Feast. At the dinner.
At what dinner?
At the Muriel dinner. Remember? The Yuletide dinner. We talked about it like a couple weeks ago.
I must have been not here.
You must
maybe.
Have been like shopping. I don't know. Maybe you were shopping.
Wait, you're reading your Christmas feast?
For the dinner, yeah.
Oh,
I know.
I'm so jealous.
I know. I mean,
okay, sorry. I might have to come. I'm just going to like crash. I won't eat. I'll just stand in the corner.
I don't know if there could be tickets left. I haven't even checked. So.
All right.
But that's what
I'm
going
to look while you're talking
you're
about
gonna
locals
shop
to love.
While we're talking about
no,
locals to love.
No, I'm not going to shop.
I love it. Just go ahead and shop. A couple of things. First of all, I just want to shout out, have you seen the new Bon Appetit magazine? The blue one, it's got a blue cover on the front, and it's got cookies in a stack. It's a
no,
full magazine.
No, I'm a subscriber, so why don't I have it
I've
in my...
I've had it for a couple days.
Okay.
Or a couple... Who knows?
Yeah, no, I have not seen the new Bon Appetit.
Okay, anyway, it's a redesign. So I mean, I'm interested to hear
fun.
What your thoughts and feelings as a journalist and all the rest of that goes.
Okay.
Just because of that.
There's a waiting list for the Yuletide dinner.
Oh, darn it. Okay.
Darn it is right.
Well, get on the waiting list. Some people don't, you know, everyone gets sick.
Sure. I'm going to join it right
These
now.
These holidays, everyone gets sick and cancels. Come on. I had a two-dinner date. I had two dinners last night and one canceled. I was like, well, that's just karma. All right. So here's some other things that are happening this weekend and or just around town. Have you seen the Nordic Village popped up at Four Seasons, speaking of? On the Riva Terrace?
They're having a big maker's market up there.
Beyond this, they have cabins. They have put up these cute little Nordic Village cabins.
No, I have not.
You can book a four-course dinner there.
In a Nordic cabin?
In a cute little Nordic cabin, which, by the way, for me, is way better than those sweaty domes. Because
the
sweaty domes,
the
I'm not
going to do them. The condensation of
done.
Your breath
nope.
running down the inside
and knowing
of
it's
the
your,
plastic
knowing it's
terrarium.
Your breath, too, is like
Urgh.
A problem. Anyway, so this they have these great little cabins, these little rustic cabins. They seat four. You get a four-course dinner from Chef Martin Morelli, $150 per person. But you also there's fire pits, and you get a little cocktail by the fire pit. There's a little shuffleboard action. It's dang cute.
Cute.
Dang cute is what I'm thinking. That's what I want to know about that.
Okay, Nordic Village at Riva Terrace.
Riva Terrace at the Four Seasons. Letting you know, too, that if you're out shopping at Mall of America, if you guys are heading out that way to go do a little shopping, there is a new sushi bar.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Kura Sushi, and it is conveyor belt sushi, which I am a huge fan of.
Yes, I am
the biggest fan of conveyor belt sushi. I don't know why, but I just love it. I love that it goes right by, and I'm like, I think I'll have that. And you pick it up, and I think it's great. They also, at Kura Sushi, what's interesting about them, this is actually one of the very first conveyor belt sushi restaurants historically. They opened their first spot in 1977 in Japan, and what they have is also you have a touch screen where you can order something that you want, like, and it comes on the express sushi highway, which is important, I feel. And so that you can also, like, if you're like, I'm not seeing what I want, you can kind of order whatever up if you want something.
Okay,
and
it comes
to your
it.
Table. So that's kind of fun. That's at Mall of America. And then letting you know that, what was the other one I wanted to mention? Oh, that Ovation. So if you're going to go to the Christmas Carol at the Guthrie Theater.
Okay.
They have reopened the fifth floor dining.
Oh, thank goodness.
I know. So they have a new space called, is it the final? Oh, gosh.
We've had a score.
Yeah,
3-1.
3-1, by the way. Netherlands to U.S.
We're trying to keep track of the soccer folks.
It's going to be the Orangemen. Let's just be clear. It's the Orangemen all the way. All right, so Ovation on the fifth floor of the Guthrie just reopened in time for the Christmas Carol.
Who's running it? Do you know?
I think it's the guys. It's Jonathan Gans, who was with The Bachelor Farmer. He did Churchill Street up in Shoreview. And he's that kind of crew is working on it. So this is just the fifth floor dining space, you know, up by the mezzanine.
Yep.
And it's really only pre-show dining. So it opens at 11 a.m. for the matinees and 5 p.m. for the shows. The downstairs one, the one that was sea change, still not open. They're going to redo that and open that within the next year. In the next year. So they're taking their time with that one. But you can, if you need to, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes people get a little flustered with trying to think about dining and then parking and all the rest. So Ovation is open. They've got, you know, like grilled escarolionaise. They've got some gnocchi. They've got chickpea fritters. It's a small menu, but it's a good, easy one.
Okay.
So that's my report on that one. What about some markets? You got any good markets coming up?
Yeah, there's actually a market that is going to be at the Four Seasons. That's this weekend, 10 to 4, both days. It's the Good Christmas Market. They have some really lovely vendors there. Mitch Berthume, programmed this one.
Course.
She does a really great market.
That's fun. Did you know that Minnetonka Orchard is open for, like, the holiday season?
I did not.
Yeah. So they have, like, you know, the orchard, like, closed down after the harvest.
Yeah.
They've reopened. They're doing, like, Santa and sleigh rides. And,
cute.
Like, at the little gift barn, they have their farm-grown wine and cider, hard cider, and all sorts of stuff there.
The Arboretum, too, has a great little $15 holiday light show that's really incredible. And they have my book out there still.
So nice.
At the gift shop, because the book's selling out. So if you want it, get it. Come
get
to Serdix. They're going to have about 12 left over, and I'll sign them all for you.
All right, everybody. Have a good Christmas
holiday. See you soon.
Ciao, ciao.